Swansea Doherty is attempting to buy a derelict cottage, which has dubious ancestral associations with the McFinney family, forebears of President Hoover. He hopes to develop the site as a tourist attraction, but not until the local historian, Vivian Hawthorne, has moved to Scotland with her new husband, the Reverend Samuel Hawthorne. The Hawthornes, however, have received disquieting news. The elders of Loch Winnoch have learned that in earlier years, Samuel ministered to a high church congregation, which may disqualify him from the appointment. These matters, and also the surprising engagement of Swansea's daughter Josie to the egregious Paddy McGoldrick, are observed with meticulous attention by the McConkie sisters, known as the eyes and ears of Ballylennan. Muriel, who runs the corner shop and is secretary of the Development Association, is Swansea Doherty's fervent supporter, and Vera, operator of the manual telephone exchange. Ballylennan, 1955.
Ballylennan call office, number please.
Hello, Miss McConkie. Is your sister there?
She's out in the shop with a few customers. Will I get her for you?
Ah, no, I wouldn't like to disturb her on her business. When she has a minute, you can say that I decided to take the second course about the place we're referring to as the McFinney Homestead.
The second course?
Aye. I'm going to buy that shack myself for Father O'Flattery, off the parish, that is, in the name of an undisclosed client. Oh, it's quite usual. It happens all the time on the property market, you know. I'll do it up, and if this foundation is offering enough money, sell it to them, and they can run it as a tourist attraction.
But we don't know what they're offering, Mr. Doherty.
That's the risk I have to take. If they only contribute buttons, our development association can run the place, and pay me back in installments out of the profits made from the tourists coming in. We'll have to be...
cagey.
No, business-like. You know... put them off for a bit. Oh, and you can mention to your sister that Josie arrived home last night from Birmingham.
Well, that's nice. Is she keeping well?
Oh, she's fine. She's fine. Well, I didn't have a minute for a chat with her because there was a function on in the Muckish suite.
Well, tell Josie I was asking for her.
I will, Miss McConkie. Good luck now.
Oh, my truly fair, truly, truly fair. How I love my truly fair. Ah, yes, Muriel.
You were hardly singing that new song to some subscriber.
Was Fonsy on the line?
He was. I thought you'd customers out there.
The Hawthorne twins.
Oh.
They're not like a married pair at all. They're like one of those brother and sister acts you'd see singing at some kind of a do in aid of woolen singlets for sailors. You know?
In the Legion Hall in Strabane.
But a funny thing, she'd on a very flowy kind of dress. And she hardly married 3 months.
When I was above in Pollux trying on that get-up for Canon Friel's funeral, I heard her telling the assistant she wanted something loose in black.
Loose. Well, they're at it very quick.
Oh.
And to look at them, you'd think it'd be a bit backward about coming forward.
Wait till I tell you. Mr. Doherty said that Josie's back.
Oh. Well, I hope she hasn't a thorn in her heel, too. Mm-hmm. You didn't mention that I spied him throwing Paddy McGoldrick out into the street.
No, indeed I didn't, Muriel.
Well, Josie must have told him something that made him do that.
I suppose it's the obvious.
Well. And Paddy's so debonair when he came round here looking to rent the spare room.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't men very peculiar, Vera?
I was nothing, Josie. Many of the time I was thrown out of worse places.
I was mortified when I heard it. We had an awful row and I went up to bed. He's avoiding me this morning.
Isn't this a queer turnaround from what we planned? The two of us happened to meet here in the Cafe Palermo.
He's always more approachable when he's calmed down after a fight. When the guilty feeling comes over him.
I can put a free weekend at the Swilly Arms out of my head all the same. I should have talked the two Miss McConkies into letting me have the spare room.
They're not going in for B&B.
Ach, no, they advertised that room I painted for them in the summer. They were looking for a lodger, so I went round, more from curiosity. And there were the two of them sitting at the table, shoveling spuds and turnips into them. That room is only for letting to ladies, sweet Vera. looking at me as if I'd crept out of his shock and about to violate them on the spot. But you see, the thought of going back to Birmingham while there's that misunderstanding about the trees. You know, the more I think of the odds, it'd be far better to stop here.
Did you not fix up about the trees?
Oh, I did. They let me take one in every 10 as a kind of a bonus. But...
But what?
But some idiot forgot to mark it into the ledger and it looked as if I was walking off a £60 at the end of it all.
Oh.
But there's war going on about it still.
Why?
Because Mr. Sibley didn't know about the deal.
Oh, but you can explain it.
Oh, I can, of course.
Another thing that impresses my father. A good suit. You'll have to put on a suit and a white shirt and a tie.
Oh, merciful hour. Jesus saves Vivian. That's our consolation. The letter's perfectly plain. For the reasons given, we regret we are unable to confirm the appointment, and I am asked to convey to you the fact that the session is not in a position to reconsider.
Just because when you were too young to foresee any untoward consequences, you accepted the call to a church where there was a pipe organ and a roped choir...
And the stained glass windows too, Vivian. They have a point there. Idolatry.
All churches have stained glass. Even Ballylennon has stained glass of a kind to prevent the congregation's eyes from wandering to scenes out in the street.
There were painted figures on the glass.
What figures?
Well, not graven images of the Lord or his prophets, but images of persons nonetheless. There's one of Sir Crawford McCullough, the inventor of chlorine, who was a member of the congregation.
Chlorine? I can tell you, this wouldn't be tolerated in the teaching profession. There's skin on your cocoa.
Cocoa. I'll heat it up later when I've had time for reflection.
I'll heat it up again now. You're not to succumb to despair, Samuel. Rise up, O man of God, as the hymnographer has so succinctly admonished us. And there may be a way around it.
Vivian, I am cognizant that the disappointment to you is as great as it is to me. You pictured yourself in the manse at Lochwinnock.
The manse here is good enough for me. What will be difficult, undoubtedly, is my position at the school.
School? But I understand they haven't found a replacement.
No, but I'll have to go to them and ask for my job back. If they'll take me.
Take me? Of course they'll take me. You... They'll praise God that you're still here.
And you'll have to do the same with the elders?
Elders. Well, I did mention to Mr. Dinsmore that I was having doubts about Lochwinnock. He said he had a long way to go before putting out the call for a new minister here, if I was thinking of changing my mind.
Come to think of it, Samuel, I mightn't be going back to work at all.
Oh, Vivian, the Lord's will be done.
Amen to that.
I have a very strange desire, Vivian. A compulsion.
What is it, Samuel?
I'm not sure that I should mention it.
You can say anything to me.
I'd like to go into a dark cinema and consume a pound of cheese.
Hello, Ballylennon. Oh, hello, telegrams. Yes, I've my pencil here. To Secretary, Ballylennon Development Association. Yes, I've got that. Real interest in providing funds for McFinney Memorial Homestead. Please communicate. Oh, just a minute. Muriel, are you there?
Just come in.
Communicate proposal. Yes. Signed, Maybelle McFinney, Sulphur Springs West. Yes, yes, I know the rest operator, Virginia, USA. Thanks. Goodbye.
Muriel. I was just throwing potato peelings into the shock. I think we'll have to get someone to give a good hook to that drain. There's a terrible smell rising off.
A telegram from the McFinney one. Real interest in providing funds.
Oh, well, I'll have to speak to Fonsie. Who's the telegram to?
You. Well, not your name, just the secretary.
Did she say how much?
What?
Money.
Not a word. You have to get back to her.
Oh, no, I wouldn't know what to say. I'll go up to Fonsie. Will you watch the show?
And why don't we give him a ring?
Oh, why not? There was nothing about them coming over to look at the cottage.
No.
They'd refuse us if they saw the state of it.
Oh, hello. Ballylennon 3.
Yes, Mr. Conkey?
My sister's on the extension, Mr. Doherty. She has a message for you. Hold on. Muriel.
Fonsie.
Muriel, you've got me at a bad time. I hope it's not an urgent matter.
Well, it is, but it's good news. Mrs. McFinney sent me a telegram to say they've got the money to...
How much?
Oh, she didn't say, but she wants a reply.
But the reply's easy. accepted.
Oh, no, I wouldn't like to speak to her. She might say she was coming over from America. Would you?
No. I have too many things. Send her a telegram.
Oh.
A bit of flattery in it. Do no harm. I say her welcome offer will be considered by the committee or the association or whatever.
Oh.
That's all I have time for now, Muriel. Mm-hmm. I've got a lot on my hands.
Oh, what's up, Fancy?
Well, I still have to find someone whose name I can put on that document transferring the McFinney homestead from Father O'Flaherty to myself.
Who could you get to do that?
Oh, well, I'll think of someone. Oh, and we stumpy bonners after printing a piece on the Vindicator about the property. I'll wring his neck when I see him, if I can bend down that low. I don't know how many times I told him to print nothing till the yellow canary and that grey parrot he's after marrying has flown off to Scotland.
Where on earth can Mr. Bonner have found his material for this article?
Pardon, Vivian?
Here, in the Vindicator. Have you finished the letter?
Letter? Nearly. I think I'm going to mention that you would wish to continue as organist.
They'll take that for granted. In any case, they'd have to pay the petrol of that person they were thinking of getting from Milford, who plays handfuls of wrong notes, though, of course, none of them would notice.
I'll just mention the organ anyway.
Ancestral cottage for restoration. The erstwhile home of the McFinneys at Drumskittrick is to be rebuilt to resemble what it was like when members of the family emigrated to the brighter horizons of West Virginia 150 years ago. They sorrowfully took ship from Derrykeigh. They could not perceive that one of the little girls would become the great-grandmother of the American President Herbert C. Hoover of vacuum cleaning fame. Vacuum cleaning. Samuel, it makes him sound like the janitor.
What's that?
That unfortunate President Hoover.
I'm sorry, Vivian, has he passed on?
I don't know. Isn't he in retirement?
I was absorbed in my letter. What are you talking about?
If Mr. Bonner had consulted my book, he'd have learnt that although the McFinneys did come from Drumskittrick, there's not one iota of evidence to show that they were the ones who married into the Hoovers.
Hoovers. I've noticed that where people share an illustrious name, the desire to descend from the most famous of them is closely followed by the fact. Do you know how these Irish Americans thirst for roots? Can you thirst for a root? Dig for one, perhaps? Even the Presbyterians among them. The McFinneys were of our persuasion.
Some were, some weren't, depending on who was in power. I'm sure Mr. Doherty knows something about this. I'm going to ring him.
Beware of becoming involved in controversy, Vivian.
You finish that letter to Mr. Dinsmore, Samuel.
Number, please?
Can you get me Ballylinen 3, please? The Swilly Arms.
If it's Mr. Doherty you're looking for, he's in his estate agency at the minute, number 11.
Very well. Please put me through to number 11.
Hold on now. There, you're through.
Doherty's auctioneers. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Doherty. This is Mrs. Hawthorne speaking.
Are you here still, Mrs. Hawthorne?
As a matter of fact, we've just decided to stay on. But that's not what I'm ringing you about.
But you've delayed your departure, is that it?
No, we've decided against moving to Scotland.
That's not quite true, Vivian.
What's that?
Oh, no, nothing. Just my husband saying that we've come to a better decision for everyone.
Oh, so you're not going?
Vivian.
Excuse me, Mr. Doherty. I'm not having the word go round that you were turned down for a post.
Hello? Hello?
Sorry, Mr. Doherty. My husband was consulting me about an important...
You resigned from the Development Association. We all... No. Sorry. That's what we thought you'd done. No. Well, that's a change.
Oh, life is full of surprises, Mr. Doherty. What I wanted to ask was, do you know anything about the report that the alleged McFinney cottage is going to be some kind of memorial to President Hoover?
I read that myself, Mrs. Hawthorne. It's a very interesting piece of information.
I suppose it was written by Mr. Bonner.
Let Mr. Bonner cover all the Ballylinen news. I have a mind to ask him myself.
Well, someone will have to, because what he says is quite inaccurate.
Well, you'd be the one to know that, Mrs. Hawthorne. I think Mr. Bonner's playing in the darts tournament tonight in the hotel. I'll ask him about it.
One hates to see the public being misled.
Oh, that'd be desperate altogether. Would you excuse me, Mrs. Hawthorne? My daughter Josie's home from Birmingham.
Oh, I know. Do give her my regards. Isn't it a tragedy so many brilliant young people have to find employment across the water?
Isn't it just?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Peg, I'd forgotten he'd moved in. Wouldn't you think he'd take a few weeks' grace with poor Canonfield hardly coldness? No, look, what I wanted to say to you was, are you alone? He's not listening.
All right. You remember what you were saying about wee Josie Doherty? Well, you'll never guess what I'm just after seeing in the Cafe Palermo. You were right. She and he. Oh, he's been moseying around for a couple of days. In fact, he's been into us twice and not a bother on him. But she only came home last night. I was going up the street to get a copy of Home and Hearth for the horoscope in Rogan's because Muriel had a run on them. No, Peg, there's no horoscope in the Sacred Heart Messenger. Well, the heel of my shoe got caught in a grating outside the Palermo, and I was bending down fixing it when I found myself looking through the glass at the two of them canoodling over a current one. The terrible thing was, Peg, that he caught my eye. I'm sure he thought I was spying on him. I took off my shoe and hobbled around a bit, so as they'd see what had happened like. Oh, the thing is, Peg, I was wondering if I should tell Mr. Doherty. Well, Muriel says no, but, well, I'm not sure. I'm thinking of Josie. She'd be in for an awful dressing down if he finds out. Ah, yes, you're right, Peg. He might never find out. But if he did, Mr. Doherty would bait it and throw up the same packy.
What have you against him? Is it that his people are from the Pierce Phyllis? And his father died of drink?
I never said that.
But you think it.
That's not the whole of it.
What's the whole of it then?
You well know, Josie, that him and me never saw eye to eye. Altogether too smart. Trying to keep a jump ahead of me here in my own hotel.
Isn't that the nature of a person with ideas of their own? Him and me could put this place back the way it used to be. And look at the state of it. If the hygienic inspector from Sligo dropped in, he'd have the license struck off tomorrow.
Well, he's not going to drop in, Josie. He's in the regional hospital with his kidneys. And anyway, he always gives us a ring in advance, so as can give the place a good scare out.
Mind you, if I was to come back here, I'd want a proper salary. Not a 10-shilling note from that till at Christmas and Halloween.
So of course you'd get a proper salary. You were only starting out then, but now you've got the whole of Birmingham behind you. You did well, Josie. I'm not denying it, but you didn't do well.
And as it happens, Packy is very well thought of at Groven Garden.
Groven Garden? You know, there was someone on from there looking for him. What right is he to leave this number?
His mother has no phone. Was there a message?
I don't know. There was something about 4 dozen of magnolia trees. I told them he wasn't here.
Oh, they made a special arrangement with him when they saw the trees and shrubs were doing so well. Promotion and a cut on sales.
Oh, is that right?
Dada. Him and me can go back to Birmingham tomorrow, but I'd prefer to be here and so would he.
Would he? Even after the promotion?
Well, he has a small bit of money saved. He might put it down in a house or something like that.
Indeed. Well, he must be doing very well if he saved that kind of money in so short a time.
At least you'll speak to him.
I will speak to him. I might even be able to interest him in something that's coming up.
Oh.
Have you half a pound of rich tea biscuits, Miss McConkie? And a wee round box of Three Counties cheese?
The rich tea's very popular out there, Kate.
Oh,
aye. 7 ounces and 7.5 and a half for luck. Do you mind a wee twist of newspaper?
Not a bit, Miss McConkie, and I can be reading it on the way home. Did you get a tenant for the spare room?
Not a single inquiry. Could you believe that? Apart from yourself and Guard Gallagher, there aren't that number of single ladies around these days.
Any single gentleman be made up living in this house with the two of you, Miss McConkie.
Oh, get along with you. Now, where are the cheese put?
Oh, I see them there under the washing soda.
All right. Did you know there's another immigrant back this week? Josie Doherty.
Indeed I do, Miss McConkie. Her and me's doing a line. Did you not know?
It never crossed my mind. Mm. Indeed. But when I think of it, aren't the two of you working in Birmingham? I hear it's a very busy city.
Since you won't take me in, perhaps I'll be forced into buying a place of my own.
Oh, we could do with a millionaire or two around here, Packy. Well, that's 9 pounds, 1 penny for the cheese, and 1 and 10.
There's 2 bob.
Thanks, Packy. And tuppence. Do you know, my sister was reminding me we still haven't paid you for painting the spare bed. Oh, there's Mr. Doherty across the street.
Oh?
Who's he talking to? Some child. No, it's we, Mr. Bonner.
Do you think he's coming in here?
As like as not. He's a letter or something to show me. Yes, yes, he's coming in now.
Is your sister inside at the switchboard?
She is, of course.
I think I'll just nip in, to say hello.
Whatever you like.
She might show me how the painting's lasted out. I might need another coat.
Yeah, I'll visit it for you.
Well, I wasn't expecting Santa Claus this early.
Ah, Muriel, just after 8 in the face of Stumpy Bonner for printing that thing about the McFinney homestead. He was supposed to have held it in reserve.
Why did he print it then?
He had another article written about the bovine TB eradication scheme. Oh. And he handed in the wrong one. I will. That's what he says.
Do you know who's inside talking to Vera?
No. Who?
Packy McGoldrick.
What?
And very smart and well-dressed he is, too.
We had a bit of an argument last night outside the hotel.
Oh, really?
Does he know I'm here?
He does.
Oh. Well, it's all in this document, Miss McConkie. Did he mention anything?
Said he was doing a line with your Joseph. Not a bit secretive either. And joking about buying a house for himself.
Ah. Do you know what crossed me my Muriel? He might be just the man to sign the transfer papers on the McFinney place.
Mm-hmm.
Just to keep it legal-like.
You know what's best, Fonsy. That's a very, very lengthy document, Mr. Doherty.
Oh, yes, it is, it is. And Josie wants him to join her in the running of the hotel. But I have my own views on that. And there's a thing I'm going to have to check up about him in the place where he's working over there, you know. I agreed to speak to him, but this isn't the place. He's coming out. I better hold me ground. Well, goodbye, Miss McCarthy.
And thank you, Mr. Doherty. Doesn't it look like rain in the clouds?
Hello, Mr. Doherty. I heard your voice in the shop.
Ah! How are you, Patty?
I'm tip-top. I was just having a word with Miss McConkie inside.
Aye.
Will I be seeing you above in the hotel, Mr. Doherty?
Oh, aye. Any time you care to drop in.
I was just saying it looks like rain.
Oh, yes. Rain before night.
Good news for the ducks. Well, I'll be going on. Thanks, Mr. McConkie. Good luck, Mr. Doherty.
Good luck.
Short but sweet.
What do you make of that?
He's trying to give a good impression.
Oh, I can see that, Muriel. As plain as the nose on his face.
There'd be no skin off your nose, Dada. The two of us would run the hotel for you, and you could give the whole of your time to the auctioneering.
Josie at the catering, and me doing the office and the promotion.
Hmm.
Promotion? Aye. Oh, you have it well worked out.
Well, it's no sudden notion out of the blue. We've been into every aspect of it over the last month.
I see you have.
And you'd still be the boss, Mr. Doherty, in charge of all the books and all. And you'd get your solicitor to draw up an agreement with everything you want written at you.
I get no solicitor charging me fees for what's common sense. I can work these things out for myself, as Josie well knows.
Maybe that's part of the problem, Dada. You take too much on yourself. You've so many things on. How could you help neglecting some of them? Like at the minute... This new notion of yours to open up the place for Americans making the pilgrimage to the ancestral home of President What's-His-Name.
You're right. And when I go the length of investing my own money in it, I'm met with long faces by the very people I thought were behind me.
I have a few pounds saved, Mr. Doherty. 60, to be exact.
No. I'm not hinting at that. What I need is a third party to complete the sale. You see... Valero Flatley's disposing of this old shack through my estate agency to an undisclosed purchaser. Well, you see, he, as vendor, doesn't need to know who the purchaser is. But a name has to go on the papers for the land registry. Of course, I have to keep my own name out of it for reasons which would be obvious to you.
Oh, like you're meeting yourself coming in the door.
Aye, partly.
Is the signature all you want?
It is.
Well, if I signed it for you, would I be liable for any debts belonging to the cottage or anything?
Oh, I wasn't thinking of you. But, you know, now you mention it, I can show you the papers. Josie, would you ever go inside to the hotel and see that I leave a big brown envelope on the shelf of the scullery door?
Well, I'll make a cup of tea while I'm there. Will you stay in the kitchen in a minute?
Aye, we will. Aye. I often think, you know, I should knock a door through that wall to the hotel.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, do you know anything about 2 dozen of magnolia trees?
No. What about them?
Well, someone on the line from Birmingham looking for you. And I think he said to tell you he was missing 2 dozen magnolia trees. But I could have misheard. You know, he had a very thick accent.
I know what it is. Some Egyptian dispatch has mixed up an order.
The same Egypt was saying they retail at £1.10 each. £60, he said they were worth. He seemed in a in a right lather over them.
Well, I'll give him a call sometime.
And you can be thinking about the other. Now that, as you tell me, you're going with Josie. I need someone I can trust. Do you see what I mean?
Oh, I do, Mr. Doherty.
Yes, Mrs. McFinney. Oh, thank you, Mrs. McFinney. Ah, it's a pleasure, Mrs. McFinney. Goodbye now, Mrs. McFinney. Oh, my God, I'll be running for perjury. Muriel?
Have me over that wee tower, will you?
Did you hear any of that?
She's not coming over.
She's too busy running a fundraising dinner for Thanksgiving, whatever that is.
Oh, well, that could give Fonzie a bit of time to get the cottage put in order.
I don't know how you'll do it. It looked to me as if the only thing you could do would be to knock it down.
Well, maybe that's what he will do. And build another that looks like it. A replica.
He's another terrible worry, now that Vivian Hawthorne's not going to Scotland.
Huh?
He thinks that when the McFinney homestead is discussed by the Development Association, she'll come up with some old piece of history to say it isn't the home of the American McFinneys at all.
Well, there's only one way of putting a stop to that. Let her know that we know they didn't decide to stay on in Ballylennon of their own free will. But because he was turned down for that job in Scotland.
But how can we let her know that we know? We can't say we overheard his conversations on the phone.
We needn't say anything, Muriel. We just say we know. Or not even say it. Hint it. A hint's far better than a word when you want your dart to hit home.
Hello? Is Father O'Flaherty in, Miss Sweeney? Oh, thanks. Ah, good day, Father. It is, thank God. Father, I have the papers ready for the transfer of the site. I can't disclose the name of the purchaser, as you know, but in fact, you'll be glad to hear it's a young local lad back from England. And isn't it good to see one example of the tide of emigration turning? Huh? Someone who was reared in the parish, coming home. I knew you'd appreciate that, Father. Yeah. Very good. I'll bring the papers up to the parish house myself. Yeah. God bless, Father. Hello? What's that?
Are you finished, caller?
Oh, I am, thanks, Miss McConkie. Oh, and you can tell your sister. I found someone to put his name to the transfer of the McFinney homestead. She might as well tell her. It's young Patty McGoldrick.
Well, isn't that grand now?
Just to keep it right, you know.
But would that not make him the owner, Mr. Doherty?
I know, no. You know how these young people are nowadays. Falling down on their debts, sometimes. Even having to give it all up and run off back to England.
And leave you holding the baby.
Well, you know, I'd like to have someone to take on the management of that property. But that's the risk you have to take if you want to help the young people to get a start.
Ah, well, here's some good news. While you were on the line, Mrs. McFinney rang from West Virginia to say, where have I left it? The money for the purchase of the McFinney homestead would be on its way shortly.
There you are now, Miss McConkie. The man above must have noted the risks I was taking on behalf of others. And given that McFinney one a wee nudge.
In Ballylennon by Christopher Fitzsimon, Fonzie Doherty was played by T.P. McKenna. Vera McConkie was Stella McCusker, and Muriel McConkie, Margaret Darcy. The Reverend Samuel Hawthorne was Gerard Murphy, Mrs. Vivian Hawthorne, Anya McCartney, Paddy McGoldrick, Tim Lone, and Josie Doherty was Cathy White. Music was arranged and performed by Stephanie Hughes. Ballylennon was directed in Belfast by Owen O'Callaghan.